for the meeting of the 118th Congress of the United States. The House will come to order.
How would you describe what's happening in Congress right now?
It is chaotic. It is wild.
That's our colleague Natalie Andrews, who covers Congress. Republicans won control of the House, and now they're trying to elect a speaker. But Kevin McCarthy, the leading candidate, doesn't have enough votes. By the time we published this episode on Thursday afternoon, he had lost 9 rounds of voting. So for the past few days, there's been no speaker.
How rare is this situation to not have a speaker of the House?
This is extremely rare. Usually this vote is a formality. It's locked in before. Even at times when we've seen speakers struggle to get the votes, by the time January has rolled around, they've taken the questions off the table.
It's been 100 years since something like this has happened. And Natalie says, right now, there's no end in sight. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Thursday, January 5th. Coming up on the show, why lawmakers keep voting and voting and voting and not electing a Speaker of the House.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Not to ask like a dumb question, but what even is the Speaker of the House? Why does this job matter?
It's not a dumb question. I think it's an interesting job. The Speaker of the House is chosen by the members of the House. So it's a job that's, you're managing people who have been hired by voters, right? So it's always kind of a tenuous position. You're second in line to the presidency, right behind the vice president. You're receiving the highest intelligence the government shares with members of Congress, and you're in charge of the House agenda. It's a very important job in setting what the country is going to do.
Without a speaker, the House can't function. Members can't get sworn in. The only thing the House can do is vote for a speaker or vote to adjourn. This year, the expectation was that Kevin McCarthy, who'd been the top-ranking Republican in the House, was going to get the job.
Well, good evening. I'm proud to announce the era of one-party Democrat rule in Washington is over.
Here's McCarthy back in November, after Republicans clinched the majority in the House.
Look, we have our work cut out for us. We've got to have a small majority. We've got to listen to everybody in our conference. And if you've watched...
Kevin McCarthy hails from Bakersfield, California. He's always been a Republican, and he is, I would say, a traditional conservative who adapted in the Trump administration to become an ally of Trump. And he is known for not having real policy ambitions. He came straight out of the gate and served in House leadership. He's essentially been working to become House Speaker since he came into Congress, and he's almost there. He's the closest he's ever been.
For the past few weeks, McCarthy's been at work, trying to gin up enough support for him to take his long-coveted role. But he's been a few votes shy.
The House Republicans met early Tuesday, and it was a very contentious meeting. The McCarthy supporters were yelling at the detractors and telling them they shouldn't have any committee positions if they voted against Kevin McCarthy, which really upset the detractors. There was swearing that really solidified the opposition. A few people released statements after that meeting saying they wouldn't vote for Kevin McCarthy. So heading into the first vote on Tuesday, it was pretty clear Kevin McCarthy did not have the votes. So they come in, they gavel in, and it is a roll call vote by alphabet.
The roll now will be called, and those responding to those names will indicate by surname.
And so the clerk reads off each name.
Adderall.
And the members stand and they say who they're voting for.
McCarthy.
You need 218 votes on the floor, or the majority of all of those present and voting. So they do these roll call votes. By the time they reach the C's, Kevin McCarthy, he's missed the five he can't lose, and he's not going to win again.
No person having received the majority of the whole number of votes cast by surname, a speaker has not been elected.
By the end of that first vote on Tuesday, McCarthy had lost 19 Republicans, including some of the most conservative in the party, like Matt Gaetz from Florida, Paul Gosar from Arizona, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, and Chip Roy of Texas.
These are largely Republicans who come from safe GOP districts. So with the exception of Lauren Boebert, who narrowly won her race in Colorado, these are Republicans who represent conservative districts, and they've mostly made a brand for themselves in being conservative. They're mostly from the southern U.S. They're known, many of them, for being firebrands and thorns in leadership's side. This isn't their first time clashing with leadership, and they're very comfortable being out clashing. These are not people who are shy.
Why don't they like McCarthy?
A lot of them see Kevin McCarthy as being kind of part of that old guard, and they worry he will turn to Democrats if he needs to avoid a government shutdown instead of, say, use the idea of a shutdown for leverage to lower the deficit or something. These detractors do not like a speaker who works with Democrats.
So if the detractors don't want McCarthy, what do they want? That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
While it's clear the detractors don't want McCarthy, it's not exactly clear who they want to be speaker instead. They've nominated people like Jim Jordan of Ohio and Byron Donalds of Florida, even though at this point, neither of them has any chance of winning.
For a lot of them, they've said that this is successful, that stopping Congress is okay with them, that they don't care how long this takes. I asked Chip Roy last night as he was leaving the Capitol if he needed to do this in a timely manner, if he felt this needed to be done quickly. And he said, what is timely? He feels like this is a healthy debate to be having in public, and he's okay with stretching it out as long as it takes in order to get what he wants, what he sees as important.
Here's Roy on the House floor.
And people ask me, what do you want? I want the tools, or I want the leadership to stop the swamp from running over the average American every single day.
One thing Chip Roy and others want is for any one member of the House to be able to move to vacate the speakership, essentially allowing a revote on McCarthy's job.
The motion to vacate is key. Kevin McCarthy didn't want to give in on that because it could mean his job is very short, and it means that he knows that he's always on thin ice. So no speaker wants to give in to that, but it was a red line for many of these members.
Other holdouts are pushing for seats on important committees and for changes to how large spending bills are passed. They also want to see things like sending more money to the border and making it more difficult for the government to run a deficit. Here's Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert explaining a package she proposed to McCarthy ahead of the votes on Monday night.
Two colleagues and myself walked into Kevin McCarthy's office and presented him a very common sense proposal, a deal that got him 218 votes, the gavel on the first ballot. And he smugly rejected that. And it was very common sense things like putting forward a border security bill, putting forward a term limits bill.
Of the 20 detractors, it's probably half want rules changes and maybe half are not fans of Kevin McCarthy and current leadership. It is very hard to be in congressional leadership for as long as Kevin McCarthy's been in congressional leadership and not have a few people who really don't like you. And Kevin McCarthy's ran up against that.
A lot of these McCarthy detractors are Trump allies and Trump supporters, but Trump endorsed McCarthy for the speaker role. So why isn't he able to sway them?
You know, Matt Gaetz said Donald Trump hasn't always made the best human resources decisions, and he disagrees with Trump's pick of Kevin McCarthy here. They're pretty dug in. They're picking their boss, and I do think it shows that Donald Trump may not have the hold that he has had in the past over these guys. But Donald Trump has also not given an incredibly firm backing of Kevin McCarthy. He also, I think, kind of wants to wait and see.
So how can McCarthy get over this hurdle? Is there anything he can do to change these numbers and get these detractors on board?
Wednesday afternoon, we started seeing more movement. There were a lot more discussions of Kevin McCarthy's whip team and the detractors happening openly on the floor. And I'm sitting up on the second floor of the House gallery, so I can't exactly eavesdrop on what they're saying, but you could tell from the body language, these were very intense conversations that were happening. And then after the third vote failed, they all went downstairs into a first floor office and they were huddling in there for several hours. I went and got dinner and came back and they were still meeting in there. And when they left, it was the first sign in 2 days of just total chaos that you could tell that they were kind of hopeful. And they were saying, hey, like, we think we're getting close. Scott Perry, who is the chair of the Freedom Caucus, said it could still take days to get to a deal, but he thought the discussions were better than they had been. They said this was the first meeting where they didn't end yelling at each other. It is hard, though, because they're gearing up. They're going to go back to days of voting, and these votes are kind of wearing people down.
How have Democrats been responding to this situation?
Democrats have been, you know, if you've ever left a job and you've wanted to see something just totally fall apart after you left that job, that is what Democrats are watching right now. Nancy Pelosi has had a regular position in the back row by some longtime friends, and she's watching it with the laser focus of a legislature, but I think she's also very relaxed. And
while eating popcorn and popping up her feet.
Yeah. They are not eating popcorn. They got very upset when a Republican accused them of drinking alcohol on the other side of the aisle. They asked for those comments to be stricken. They could not be because Congress has not passed a rules package, so there's no rules in Congress yet. So you can basically say anything.
Even if Kevin McCarthy is able to overcome this and become the speaker, what does this situation say about his ability to control his party in Congress and push forward an agenda that he wants.
This shows that he's going to be in a tenuous spot if he wins the speakership. He's not going to come out of this strong. He's not going to come out of this in a good negotiating spot. When he tries to talk to Chuck Schumer about spending bills, Chuck Schumer's going to know that he's in a tough spot. So is President Biden. I mean, this is playing out very publicly. You know, and maybe that's an advantage. Kevin McCarthy's going to be able to very clearly say, look, you know I can't deliver that. I have to keep my Republicans happy. But it also, it doesn't demonstrate strong leadership. It doesn't demonstrate that you have everyone really behind you.
So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think McCarthy is going to get this job ultimately, or is he going to have to step down?
I wish I had a crystal ball, Ryan.
Me too.
I think we're in unprecedented territory, and it's really hard to know how much Kevin McCarthy can give. Chip Roy said last night he thought he could get 10 Republicans if McCarthy made the concessions. 10 Republicans still won't get Kevin McCarthy to where he needs to get. It's hard to know, but Kevin McCarthy also doesn't have anything to lose. This is the job that Kevin McCarthy has wanted for years, and this is his last chance. And he has worked very hard for it. He's raised millions of dollars. He's campaigned across the country. He will not give up easily. I think he still has days left in him of sitting there and watching the vote go down. He sat there largely expressionless on the floor every time the vote happens, and then he gets up and gets to work and starts talking to people. I think if he can make a deal, he wants to make a deal, because no one on that floor wants the job more than Kevin McCarthy.
That's all for today, Thursday, January 5th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Eliza Collins and Siobhan Hughes. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.